Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, it's Shift and Steer. And you know what? We're excited because there's so much going on. Weird stuff. I mean, like cars being stolen.
Who's excited?
What's that? You're not excited?
Who's excited?
Hey, we've got a lot of bits and pieces to talk about on today's show. And so we're going to get rolling right away. But I think Matt's going to tell us first, who helps us put Shift and Steer on every week?
Yes, we want to shout out to our friends at Geico.
Geico, you know,
maybe if you you can own your home or you rent your home, either way, it can often be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing too, because you have so much to do around your house already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Just visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
And places with your host Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
You know what?
Thumbs up and a big smile. Make that tooth sparkle. Ding ding.
Matt, yeah. Aaron is an expert at bundling. You know.
Yeah. In fact, I'm
where he lives
because it's cold.
Where he lives, he has to be an expert at bundling. I don't know if it's Geico bundling, but this guy, craziness, Aaron. You know what? When you live somewhere where it's already dropping into the teens and snowing, that's just, you know, Ken Lingenfelter was going through the same thing yesterday. He posted that he said, up here in Michigan, we've got to start moving the cars around and rearranging now. Because as soon as the snow comes, we can't move anything outside. So is that what you're going
through? I'm in that boat. I'm in that boat too. So what you can't see is that I actually have a car hanging from my ceiling.
Yeah.
Because that's what I had to do this season to make it all work. Winters. Winter, when you live in a winter place and you're a car guy and you don't have the interior space, I got half of the collection or more outside. So that really sucks. So I was covering stuff up, bagging stuff. I've got engines outside drained of water, oiled up and bagged. And I feel for anybody who lives in a winter state that, has to, prepare their space for winter. No fun.
When I have to leave something overnight outside, I get stressed out, man. I'm like, I don't want to leave that outside overnight, you know?
Well, it was literally 72 degrees yesterday, and it's it's, I don't know, in the 30s right now. It was windy. It rained for an hour ago, and then it started snowing when I was locking up getting ready for the show.
Aren't you concerned ever that maybe a bear will take up residency in one of those?
No, but I do have to keep squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, and other critters out of them, which is
like
no
Dirty
fun.
Dirty Mike
no,
and no, the boys?
Yeah, the bears like mattresses. So if you have an old mattress that you threw under the deck, guaranteed a bear is going to be sleeping on it during the winter. No joke.
In Matt's we
have the same issue out here in Venice, but it's usually the homeless.
That's what I was just going to say. The bear, you have a whole different concern.
Yeah.
Bears and Tahoe are basically our homeless community during the winter. Because the homeless are like, I'm out of here. Fuck this place. And they go to the back.
They go to Santa Monica. What do you mean?
Yeah, they go to Santa Monica.
I guess we can get into it a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about
SEMA. Oh, you want to get into it? Yeah,
you want to get into
360. Yeah. You're lucky you're behind a screen in the snow where I'll never go.
Well, bring that Defender up here, buddy.
Yeah, I gave that back already.
Oh, okay.
I think
a little early. Did you give it back a little early?
No. We had it for the week. It was good. We talked quite a bit about it. It's, you know, didn't get a chance to go off road in it. It's a bit of a haul to do that. But
should have taken it down into the LA River, man. You know that shot of the water going
the rooster
over.
Tail.
Hit my go baby go button in that thing.
There you go.
Exactly. Hey, see the 360.
Yeah, SEMA 360. So,
it was a little
weird. So, the manufacturers are listed, and you can kind of scroll through them all and click on them, and you kind of get like some PDFs and some little bit of information about some new products there. Occasionally, a video. I guess it was fine if you're really looking for that. I do enjoy all of the new products, so I actually went to the online new product showcase and pretty much scrolled through every new product that's available. It took a little while.
Wow.
And I would say overall, I think the SEMA 360 thing was an interesting experiment. Brad, we were all talking earlier and you brought up a good point. When you're there and you're at SEMA, you're focused on SEMA. Like you're basically, you know, if it's your job or you're working one of the booths, you're getting paid to be there. So here it's business as usual. So trying to log in and take that time, you know, it's 8 or 9 o'clock at night before I'm able to do that because I've got to do other things. You got to do your job during the day. So
we're not in SEMA mode. We're not gone. Yeah, you know,
it was tougher to give it as much attention or even a fraction of the amount of attention as you would if you were at the event. But I did try to see some new parts that were going on up there. I did notice a few things.
Before you get into that, let me ask you a question. Did it throw any of you guys off? Because it wigged me out when on Monday morning they said, day one of SEMA. I went, wait a minute. SEMA doesn't start on Monday.
Yeah.
There's no Monday in SEMAville.
Honestly, for me, I didn't even notice. All the days are kind of blurred these days.
Yeah.
And we just kind of like work through and now it's all based on like my calendar. If I have a meeting scheduled, you know, like this or something on a Friday or a Sunday or whatever, it's just, that's how I plan the day around those or the week around those, because now I'm getting different meetings and stuff planned for weekends and nights and mornings and all kinds of stuff.
Traditionally SEMA starts on Tuesday. And they said they started on Monday, it kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't even expect that. And
I'm not even sure when it actually ends. We're recording this show on a Friday and I still think it's going on. And I think today they announce a winner of Battle of the Builders. And by the way, Chip Foose is in the finals. Andy Leach is in the finals. Some pretty cool cars in there. I don't think the Ring Brothers have a car in this year, but they are.
I didn't see they did. No.
They are part of the judges. They're among the judges this year because the idea of it was you're judged by other builders, right? So it's sort of a peer-to-peer event. It's always kind of a fun event. There's always cool cars there. And they're somewhere, I don't know if it's in Vegas or where it's happening, but they're getting a lot of the cars together so they can film them. Like Tanner Faust is hosting, and I think AJ is hosting. And Tanner even posted a little behind the scenes video of Chip Foose in his Jaguar. I think it's an E-Type that he built.
Yep.
Kind of backing it into space. So it should be interesting to see some of that video stuff happening. I'm sure there's a one-off TV show or something happening around that as well. There always has been in the past, one of Bud Brutzman's.
Yeah, Bud's probably filming
production. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. Scrolling through a bunch of the parts, I saw a lot of off-road parts. And I think just, you know, the Jeep always continuing to do well, the Gladiator out and available now, the popularity of the Raptor over the last decade, news of a TRX coming out, which we knew about for a while now. And the parts that were developed for those, even at an OE level, you're starting to see glimpses of that in the aftermarket. Specifically, Bill Stein did the suspension on the Dodge TRX, on the Ram TRX, going to Fox. And yeah, the suspension is getting rave reviews. People are saying, hey, Ford did a great job, but the Bill Stein suspension on the Ram TRX is even better. Better off-road and better on-road. So naturally, Bill Stein said, hey, we do have a new line of several new products in their off-road suspension. They do have a very cool coilover system. The reason why I was looking into suspensions is I don't know why we're not there yet, but I was looking for the automotive aftermarket to come up with, for lack of a better term, Magna Ride for the aftermarket. I want a dynamic suspension. I want an active suspension system that we can adapt to hot rods and builds and things like that.
That's really, really complicated though.
It is. So Hotchkiss has something that's similar. So Hotchkiss has a computer controlled suspension system. It doesn't do four corners. It does the two front and the two rear, and you can preset. And there is a gyro that you can mount somewhere central in like firewall or something. And it basically takes their adjustable shocks and adds a computer component to it. And you can set it for two different parameters. You can set it for street and track, or like comfort and race, whatever you want to call them.
Hard and soft.
You can set the parameters for those. And then it has an auto mode, right? Yeah. A hard, a soft, a street, a race, whatever. You can call them whatever you want. They're not calling them anything specific, right? I think you can do whatever you want. And then there is an auto mode. So it is dynamic. So when you're getting on the brakes or getting into a corner, it, depending on how quickly it is, like that brake dive, it does react a little bit differently. So
he's got
those for a number of muscle cars, but we saw that a year or two ago. He's been working on that, and he's mostly been doing new bolt-on kits. Like you can get the shock and technology, but now you can, you know, get it for your Nova or get it for your Mustang or whatever. And for some reason, we haven't seen that. Now we've seen attempts at this. We saw RideTech do something like this once, and I thought QA1, but I could be wrong. And then they stopped doing it. It just didn't work as well, or the price point was too high.
Well, there's a lot of data processing that has to happen for that to work correctly, you know. That's
big time.
There is, and if you think of all the fine tuning that goes into the Magna Ride on a specific car, we've been following a lot on the Fords because the Fords are the newest products, right? We had the Mustang GT had it, and then the Bullitt had a revised version, and then the GT350 had it, and now the new Mach 1 is coming out, has an even revised version of that. They keep tweaking the software to make it better, right? On both ends, more aggressive on the racing side, more comfortable on the street side. But those of us that have driven them, I'm sure you've driven some Magna Ride stuff, Aaron,
because
your dad has like Ferraris and stuff, and a lot of that is actually
two of our vehicles have the Magna Ride in them.
Yeah,
too.
And it's fantastic, right? You get into a Mustang GT performance pack and you get into a Magna Ride and you're like, oh, this is I get it. So I really kind of wanted to see something like that in the aftermarket. Now, what Bilstein did with one of their truck coilovers, I don't know if it's application specific or universal. My guess is it's going to be application specific, but imagine the valve in there, in the oil, and it's on the rod or the shaft, and it's moving up and down, but that at the top internally and at the bottom internally are other compression bump stops. So as that rod moves through inside the shock, it gets to that other point and adds another layer of compression. So essentially three layers, you know, there's two compression and two rebound, but there's one shaft in the middle, and then it has, they put up a pretty good, interesting video out of it and some diagrams of it. And what it is interesting in that if you guys saw any of the videos of the Ram TRX that have been put out, there was a course that they invited some of the journalists on, kind of high speed, and you see them all jumping in the air.
Yeah.
And the guys that run audio, you see them jumping in the air, they hit the ground, and you do hear a bit of a bang. And what it's doing is it's just hitting that bump stop, right? So what this Bilstein shock does is it builds some of that into the shock first before you hit the actual just rubber bump stop.
Right.
So you would, on your off-road, let's say, just bumps, the shock's moving quickly, and then on a bigger up or down movement or a bigger jump movement, when there's more compression, it hits that other internal bump stop. So it is kind of a neat
piece of technology.
It's
putting on the brakes, so to speak, before it hits that. Yeah.
So it adds another level of it, which is kind of in a weird
way. Very impressive.
It is very impressive. Now, if you imagine, the mechanical aspect is the rubber bump stop outside of the car, right? It's just in between, like, the shock and or the control arm and the frame. And I recently went and drove the new Rolls-Royce Ghost. This is an entirely new platform for them. They developed it for the Cullinan SUV, and it's the underpinnings now of the Cullinan SUV, the Phantom, the big one, and now the Ghost. The Ghost used to be a BMW 7 Series platform. Now it's proprietary.
Oh.
And they made the whole platform modular enough that they can change the length of the vehicle and the width of the vehicle. So now they can go in any direction. And because it started with the Cullinan, the new Rolls-Royce Ghost is all-wheel drive because the SUV was all-wheel drive, right? So now you have an all-wheel drive platform. But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is I went to the Rolls-Royce event, drove the Ghost, and they said, I went in, I was like, I love this car. It is the nicest driving car out there. And I know you guys are famous for your, what they call their magic carpet ride. And they said, it's interesting you brought that up. We've improved it. And I was like, how did you improve it? And it's a very, very simple design. Imagine a front suspension. You have your upper and lower control arms. Let's call them upper and lower A arms, like on an SLA. And the shock is in the middle, and they move up and down like this. That upper control arm is now sandwiched between two other control arms, and they have rubber bump stops sandwiching at top and bottom. So now when this control arm goes in the middle, it sandwiches in between these two other rubber bump stops, and it just gives it this glorious, glorious ride. And it's when you go and you see the car in person, if you turn the car hard left or hard right in a parking lot and just look in there, you see like three upper control arms in a sense with like yellow rubber bump stops. And it's just providing this added level of cushioning, but the car handles well because it's all theoretically progressive.
They don't call them A-arms on that vehicle, though, Matt. They call them triple A-arms.
Triple A-arms, yeah. They described it. They're like, look at it. It's actually a very, what? It's a very simple design that really works. It's a fantastic, comfortable ride. And then when you're just getting into the canyons, which you can even do with a Ghost, its active suspension is fantastic. It still works very well. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not a Lamborghini Aventador going through the canyons, but it's impressive what they're doing with it. So that's what we found mostly on the suspension side. And then the other, I feel, notable aftermarket part that came out that I think you guys are going to like is Tremec has released a new five-speed transmission. And the TKO 500 and the TKO 600 has been the go-to five-speed swap transmission for a while. Now, the T5 transmissions and the world-class T5s that are in the Mustangs, the Fox Body Mustangs and Rangers and a bunch of cars back in the day, they're great because they only weigh like 50-something pounds. They're lightweight. They're very small, but they have very limited torque capacity. The Tremec T5 world class is like 300 pound-feet of torque. It's great for a stock swap, but you really can't put power behind it unless you do a full rebuild on that transmission. So the TKO 500 and 600 came out, and it had three locations to mount a shifter. And it was very, very durable, but it had two flaws. One, it didn't like shifts at high RPM. It was meant for muscle cars, 5,000, 5,500 RPM shifts, you know, maybe 6,000 RPM shifts. And two, if you guys can picture it, it has a very bulky case and a big flat spot on the top of the case where you can move to one of the shifters. That made it very difficult to install into a number of muscle cars and early model Mustangs and Falcons and things, and you have to really kind of bang the tunnel with a hammer and it was handled a lot of horsepower, but didn't fit well. So Tremec has come up with a new transmission, and the new transmission is what's great about it is it's in a new case. It is slimmer in design. It is smaller in design. It has a flat top on it. It doesn't have the bulky square, and the plate that was on there before was sort of glued on with a sealant. Now I believe it has an O-ring on it, so it's easy to come on and off. It's called the Tremec TKX. It's a five-speed meant for rear-wheel drive manual design, but this thing smooth shifting up to 8,000 plus RPM. So now you can do mod motor swaps if you want without, if you didn't want to do a six speed or you're having trouble fitting the six speed Magnum in a muscle car swap, this is going to replace that. There are still three shifter locations. There's one on the top in the middle, and there's the one in the back, and you can just turn the shifter either way, and that kind of moves it forward or backward. So, the companies that we know that are the big dealers for this, like American Powertrain and Bowler Transmissions, those are the biggest Tremec dealers. This is replacing every transmission in their lineup when you do a five-speed swap. So the TKO 500 and the 600 is gone. Like they're just going to take it off the table. Tremec is not going to make it anymore. They will make parts for it, so service parts are going to be fine. But this new transmission is very cool. And if you think of all the builds, all the hot rod builds out there, if your space is limited and you can't get the six-speed Magnum in there, you can get this really nice five-speed. It comes in GM and Ford cases with different bolt patterns as far as bell housings and stuff. And multiple gear ratios.
How much smaller is it percentage wise? Because I've got one of those six speeds sitting in my warehouse here. Yeah. And I had it in that that Chevelle that I was building that I sold, the 66 Chevelle. It was on a Morrison chassis. And you're absolutely right. When we got it down, we had to build a whole new trans tunnel, to fit that in properly. And then I was holding that back for another car that I'm building, and now I'm hearing about this. I mean, how much smaller do you think it is, Matt?
Well, compared to the six-speed, I think it is significantly smaller, right? Because the six-speed is just bigger overall and longer overall.
Yeah, it's a big
and much heavier. In comparison to the TKO that it's replacing, it's been nipped and tucked in all of the right areas that were causing problems for all of the swap kits, for all the muscle car kits that were out there. So the top is much sleeker, so it doesn't have that big box hitting up and the corners are hitting up. And there was some bracing or a mount on the side for different type of shifters. If you wanted to do like multiple shifter type of things, they remove that, but they do have bosses there. So you can drill in and mount your own system to it. So overall, it is much slimmer. So I would say, again, I have some of the press release information and how they talk about the difference between the TKO and this one, but not compared to the six speed. But the six speed compared to the TKO is even bigger.
Smaller. That would be.
I would say the biggest difference is on a custom application, you can kind of build around it. Like you were saying, you had to build a tunnel around the six speed because you wanted a six speed in it. For guys doing that, they're still going to do that. But if you're picking up your Camaros and Novas and Mustangs and Falcons and Cudas, and you've always had a hard time fitting the TKO in there, it should fit now with this new transmission, with the TKX. It should fit. So all of these swap companies like Boulder and American Powertrain, they're going to be adapting all of their swap kits to this new transmission. And you don't have to change the angle and you don't have to bang the tunnel. It's going to be a pretty cool, significant thing. Plus 600 pound torque capacity. You know, if you start thinking about Bronco swaps and other truck swaps and Ranger swaps and muscle car swaps and hot rod swaps, or if you're doing like a factory five, their hot rod or something, now you've got a smaller transmission that can handle the power and it can handle the higher RPM of, you know, let's say a flat tappet engine, a short travel, you know, hydraulic roller, a transmit or engine, one of the mod motors, anything going 8,000 RPM. Now you're not limited to roughly whatever, 6,000, 6,200, 6,500. If your engine can do it, this seems to be able to handle it, which is pretty nice. So anyway, that's one of the things that really kind of caught my attention.
I can tell.
Yeah, look, if you have one of the old cars with a 3-speed or 4-speed transmission and you want the overdrive, this is going to fit. Right? It's not meant to be bigger than the 4-speed. That's it. I'm done for the day. See you next week.
You're done? Okay. Well, overall, I said SEMA 360. I had some problems logging in and then when I got in, you know, it was like we talked about, it was late in the day. You know, they gave it a good try, and I'm waiting to hear from some of the manufacturers what they thought about it, what the reactions were. It seems like a very difficult way to do business, and maybe they'll refine it, but hopefully they won't have to. And next year,
I don't know if any meetings happened. That's the part I'm curious about. SEMA still is a trade show. And was it a trade show now, or was SEMA 360 a way for them to get all the new product press releases and stuff out there, sort of a central location for doing that? And if that's what their intention was, then I'm fine with that. It's because I was looking for the new parts. I wasn't really taking meetings.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing that I was very disappointed in, and that is the fact they did do the banquet last night, and I am still waiting to be served my dinner. it never showed up. So
now I got my bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you are... Well, you didn't get your food.
And but. I will probably tell you that a lot of people that were tuned in and logged in the night before on 360, they were probably, like, if they're in the L.A. area, they probably logged off to watch Marshmallow's truck being driven through the streets of L.A. So
I got so much of that, like, sent to me. And thanks for everybody on Twitter and Instagram going,
I know,
check,
we
this
had
out,
people
check this out.
Sending us things.
And people were saying it's a Hennessy Velociraptor, and some were saying it was the G-Wagon. And what it turns out is it was, I think, Heavy D, the Diesel Brother guys. They built a heavy-duty truck, basically a Ford.
It was an F-550.
Yeah, it just took a big Ford truck, turned it into a 6x6. And from what I understand is, is, and I don't have the full story, but it was at a dealer in one of the ports to get serviced. And somebody, if you saw the guy who took it, so somebody went and stole the truck. And right. The funny part is I think he rolled up on a bicycle, threw his bicycle into the bed of the truck. Yeah. Stole the truck, and the whole time the news helicopter is flying above, you see the dude's like red bicycle in the bed of the truck. And stole the truck, went on some crazy police chase, eventually hit a light pole, and this is the best part, hits a light pole just comes down, like just passes out, like getting knocked out in an MMA fight. And then the aftermath photos of the front of the truck, because they built a big bumper. The bumper has like this little dent in it. I don't even think it hit the grill. Like it didn't even touch the plastic grill. It just, they built like this ram of a grill on the front.
Dude, I'm glad that guy didn't come down my street, because he would have taken out my entire house and maybe the neighbor.
Oh, man. Just,
I mean, if you're going to get caught anyway, I mean, I guess you're going to get hit with the property damage. But if you would have just ran through like people's front lawns and just drove through their Priuses and everything else, just mailboxes and Priuses, like it would have been unstoppable until you, you basically just really hit something or gave up or ran out of fuel.
The news on it, guys, was that it was in the stall with the keys in, you know, the ignition, which, you know, that's not unheard of. You know, if they're in there, they don't take the keys to a rack and lock them up. Right. You know, that's, you know, they probably walked away for a second. And this guy who stole it, he wasn't just some homeless dude riding by on his bike. He's been arrested 6 times for vehicle theft, armed robbery. He's got a lengthy rap sheet. But where did he think he was going to take that? You think he's going to take it to the local chop shop and, hey, man, how much you give me for this? Because there's nothing. There's 5 of those in the entire United States, maybe, you know? I mean,
he thought he was going to joyride it and then dump it and not get caught.
Or maybe he was going to take it to the ports and have it shipped overseas.
Yeah. Or maybe he is homeless, Brad, and he needed a roof over his head because winter's coming. So so he went to jail.
He went to jail, right?
And it turns out it was for the DJ Marshmallow. Yeah. And so it's like, you know what? Well, I got to say, where do you park that fucking truck? You know, that thing's so huge.
When Marshmallow tries to tell, you know, I assume Geico, when he calls Geico and he says, hey man, little damage to my truck, it got stolen. They're going to be like, well, I don't know. He's like, well, the beauty of it is there's 5,000 Instagram videos and news footage that it's clearly not me driving this truck. So hopefully they'll step up and take care of them, even though it's a modified vehicle. I'm sure it can be worked out. You know, listen, it's easy to say he's a successful musician and DJ, and he's got plenty of money and not worry about it, but that's not the point.
Right.
The point is somebody stole this truck and screwed it up. And that's what insurance is for, right? We're all we all have to pay for insurance.
Right.
Well, no,
and luckily nobody got hurt.
Exactly.
Right. So.
But what we're seeing is a trend of fast trucks destroying property in Southern California.
I don't want to go to your neighborhood. Who knows what could go on over there?
Well, speaking of all that too, my middle daughter was just rear-ended. It literally on an off ramp to the freeway, hit some traffic, and a car hit her at about 65 miles per hour. Hit her at a dead stop. That's the no ABS. Obviously, the marks on the road were like quarter mile long. But she has a little Beetle convertible, a little cream one. It's done, totaled. But I think the funniest part of it, she's okay, by the way. She's beat up, but she's okay, you know. And the driver was nice. Everything worked out. But it left, and I'll send you guys a photo. It left an imprint of his front license plate in her bumper. Literally left an imprint, an outline. You could almost clearly read it.
Like a giant scraping machine.
It totally embossed her bumper. with his front license plate. So
listen, much for the hit
but
and
glad
run.
Everybody
if you
was
literally
insured.
Leave your if you literally leave a stamp of your license plate in the bumper, there's no hit and run possibility
right?
No, well, California.
It would be everybody backwards. Was insured. It was a rare instance.
I'm glad she's okay, and I remember that car.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, right? You're like, "Hey, we're gonna get her a little car."
It was a great experience picking that car up from an old lady in Carmel and putting a new transmission in it, and then Sabina and I went on a little trip up to Mendocino on photography in a borrowed vehicle. And then at the end of the trip, I gave it to her as her own vehicle. So we did a nice little trip in it, and it was very sentimental, and it's really a shame.
Surprising, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's my free car, Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron, I need one too.
Yeah, Aaron.
Well, I'll give you the next one that comes my way.
Yeah, whatever the next one that needs another transmission.
Yeah, yeah. They do get dropped off in the front of my shop sometimes. So.
Where's the 914 at? I'll just come up and get it this weekend.
Okay? Yeah, the 914, I'm going to pick it up probably next week if we get a little break in the weather. So
I was just going to say, depending on weather.
Yeah.
I put the lift up, as you can see for those of you, a video in the background, lift. So the 914 is going to go behind me where the Triumph is. Triumph is going to go on top, and the 27 is going to go underneath, double up on the lift, and then we'll put the 914 behind me. So
how did you end up getting the lift in there?
I'll get it for you.
Because you said last week you needed a forklift or couldn't do it, and...
So you wouldn't believe it. So
it
a buddy
bear,
of mine, Jim, from JCP Lifts, said, "Hey, man, I put these up for a living. We can do it. You can do it with basic tools." So we used come-alongs, and I had a little electric winch that's good for about 700 pounds that I use. You put a drill in it. It's a Warren winch. Really cool little piece of kit that I use for all kinds of stuff here. We tethered it to the ceiling. Wheeled it in on dollies and erected them with these little come-alongs and jacks. And I just pulled it up from the ceiling and we muscled it, the two of us. It was quite extraordinary and pretty scary. No wives or children allowed to be present because that wouldn't have worked too well.
Wives would have been, "What are you doing?"
I know. Yeah, it was quite precarious. And
I'm glad the ceiling
say,
didn't come down.
No. In fact, everything worked out really well. My landlord let me drill four holes in the floor, so we anchored it properly and shimmed it and leveled it. It's perfectly level in all corners. And I'm just waiting for my buddy to come up tomorrow, and he's going to wire it up with 220. But yeah, I was really, really excited. Turns out the lift is ancient. It's from the early mid-80s, and it holds about 7,800 pounds, just under 8,000 pounds. And it is built like a tank. Each one of those arms probably weighs a couple thousand pounds. It's not one of these modern Chinese knockoffs. This is an old piece of, I think they're made in Canada, and it is a beast. It is big metal. So I'm really excited. Really excited.
Yeah, that's
heavy
good. I'm
metal.
Glad it worked out. I'm glad it big worked time. Out when it was 70 something degrees and not when it's 12
yeah.
degrees.
Yeah, so, yeah. Matt, what else is happening? We talked about a couple things last night. And what? Oh, that's the impression?
That's
oh, yeah.
The impression. I'm showing the guys the impression for those listeners. You can clearly see a 5 and a 7. And isn't that crazy? I will send you guys this.
You know, last week we talked about trying to get a new car, just some car, a daily driver car. And what direction are we going? And I was like, we should get something. I was thinking, you know, because the M3's gone and I'm going to be doing work on the truck. You guys saw the parts that were coming in on that.
And you went with the Porsche Turbo with the matching jet that they announced yesterday.
I saw that, by the way. The new Bombardier private jet with
matching Porsche. New,
I just got a text from Aaron. Oh, that car is squished.
Yeah.
It's funny because it kind of looks like the faces that you sent before.
I just got a text, Aaron, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking because, Brad, you were saying you were thinking about something as well. You've got the big, big block truck, the Yukon that that you're never going to get rid of. But that's
I'm not going to sell it no matter what. I love that thing.
No, you don't get rid of anything. We already figured that out. I was kind of on the same idea going, you know what, something that it has room and some ground clearance, you know, like a nice SUV, something with an automatic transmission, something you don't have to worry about speed bumps and just hitting the ground. And then my problem is currently on my phone, I'm using the Ford Mach 1 as the wallpaper. So every time, you know, 40 times a day, I see the Mach 1 and just for fun, I called the guys over at Galpin that are working on my truck, and I was like, hey, what's up with the Mach 1? It's not really like on the Ford website yet. There's no like build and price, but the order books are supposed to be open. And he said, yeah, it's another one of these cars where it's going to be very limited the first one or two allocations. And the first allocation for this year could just be a few hundred of the cars.
Wow.
And so right now, Ford is selecting who can get the car. It's not a complicated process. You don't have to write a 500-word essay. You're not going to get the cool box in the mail like the Ford GT, and you get to pick your colors and your wheels. But there is a little bit of a selection process. It's a little bit like you go to your dealer, you say, hey, can I get one of these cars? And then either you can go to Ford if you know somebody, or the dealer can go to Ford and say, well, we've got 40 requests for these cars. And then Ford will say, well, who on the list are, you know, who's your good customers? What have they done? Blah, blah, blah. You know, who kind of earns the first allocation? And then the other people can get on the list for later down the road. And so there's a little bit of that selection process. So I just thought, well, that's kind of intriguing to me and kind of fun. So I sent a couple of emails to Ford to see what we can do.
Wow.
And I don't have a definitive answer, but I got some positive feedback.
Good. What about the Bronco? So you want to go SUV?
Okay. So the Bronco, by the way, similar, so many car companies are doing this thing. When the Bronco pre-sales came out, they did a limited amount of that launch edition.
Right.
And that one wasn't get on the list. That was sort of first come, first serve, right? So, and then it sold out. And then that's it. You can order Broncos, but you can't get that
launch
first edition or launch edition, right? And if you also think about, let's say, Dodge Challenger Demon. Now we're starting to see pop up at auctions that Demons are still holding value. Those cars are 85, 90 grand. Demons are popping up at auctions for 100, 110, 115,000. But if you noticed, I think Barrett Jackson had one. They said this was one of the first 300, that first list of people that did have to call and get it, call in a favor or get on a list. Those cars are trading for like 150,000. Yeah, so if you got one of the first like 300, so now that this whole process became a little more intriguing to me, because I was on CarCast, we were talking about how modern day cars are making moves so much at these auctions. Gooding, RM, Barrett Jackson, you're starting to see not just the ones you'd expect, a LaFerrari, you get on the list that moves, you know, that gets more money, new Ford GTs. Some of the McLarens, things like that. But some of these muscle cars and things that are happening, that if they do not just a launch edition, but let's just say the first 300 VINs, you know, is a specialty list, and you get a, you know, that's worth more money now. So, excuse me, it's interesting, and it's paying off for the car companies on creating some value, some residual value for some of their cool specialty cars.
And yeah, that's how awesome.
Financially, you say, hey, I want to make a Demon, but we need to make 3,000 so we can make money off of this. But are all 3,000 going to be worth money one day? And is it going to take 20 years for that to happen? Uh, I, I, you know, we don't know. So they're saying, well, what if we do a launch edition, or if we do a special edition, you know, or the first 300. Another good example is the Hummer EV that just came out, right?
Yeah.
The launch edition, the first edition of that, whatever they're calling it, sold out immediately. And that's the fully loaded, whatever, $112,000, $113,000 version. Maybe it's going to have some trim level stuff or sill plates with some branding that says it's a launch edition. Who knows? And you won't get that anymore. It's not going to change the power or whatever of the vehicle.
It's a launch edition, and it's a Moonlander.
Yeah.
So it's a launch edition. clever.
It's a new way of creating these halo vehicles, but taking it out to the public, building the brand, building enthusiasm, and giving the people who are first adopters the opportunity to actually, you know, get ahead of everyone else. And
what else I think is the car companies realize that those people want the fully loaded version. Of the car, right? The Hummer EV, the Bronco. Another example is the new Porsche 911s are out, right? So they did the 911, and then they went right to Turbo S, right? And then after that, they released the Turbo, and then they're working on some of the GT models, right? But they went to the biggest street version of that car, you know, Turbo S. And then they said, well, if you select customers will get that, and then you can go down to Turbo and you can get the other GT versions. But it kind of makes sense.
No, it does. And it's it builds the excitement. I mean, we're talking about it. Everybody else is talking about it. And then when you see those cars, as you said, Matt, like when I'm sitting there at Barrett Jackson and that car ran across and it went for good money, it tells the people, hey, if I can get on that list and buy one, if I could get a Mach 1, you know, maybe I could drive it, have some fun with it, and then even make some money on it. And
Well, people were doing that with the C8 Corvette too, and there wasn't a launch edition, right?
Right.
Yeah, the C8 Corvettes are going for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 over sticker. Jeez. What a great car too. So
now the dealer markup stuff is a little bit different, right? Because the C8 they're going to make plenty of. They intend to, and they went with the old school strategy of is launch the base version, and then later you'll get a Z06, you get a ZR1, you get a whatever, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if the strategy would have been more interesting if they said new C8 Corvette comes out. And the first one is we're going to do 1,000 fully loaded ZR1s, supercharged, turbo, electric, whatever, big brakes.
Should have.
They should have, except I think they want to do the R&D.
And they want the customer feedback. I was going to say, they wanted to get that car out and get it maneuvering and doing things so they could come back with a stronger one.
Right.
It's just like now, in the case right now.
Now, in the case of Porsche Turbo S, you know, 911 was already out. Mustang is already out. Dodge Challenger is already out. But to do the Demon and then do, oh, we're going to do 300 of these limited Demons and then the rest of them. So it wasn't a fresh platform that they had to basically R&D and work the bugs out of, which they are working the bugs out of the C8, as we know, right? The front opens and this little recall here and there. It's a good car. It's fine. But it is kind of interesting. Now, the dealer markups are a whole different issue, you know. Right. I just walked past my Toyota dealer the other day, and I just saw a bunch of Toyota Tacomas sitting in the front lot, and they got $5,000 dealer markups on a pickup truck.
They're hot right now, super hot.
Come on,
I know.
I was gonna photograph it and put it out there, but I was like, "Yeah, dick move.
You should have come on." I feel like we got a moderator move. Come on,
don't give it any love.
Happening on Twitter right now, politics and everything else.
I know we need to get that pushed out with some of that moderator citizen.
I wanted to put something positive up there and not, you know, call out somebody's bullshit $5,000 markup. that all being said, I will do it here on the podcast.
Yes, of course.
But anyway, so maybe a chance to pick up a new Mach 1. I'd love to have it. Have no idea how I'm going to afford it, but
you got to pay for it too?
See, that's where you come in.
I go to the dealers and I go, "Hey, I want one of those." And they go, "Great, let's go into the And I go, well, no, I just want one of those.
Yeah.
You know, they won't, you know, it's just not like the old days, man. So
anyway, that's what I got. What do you guys got? Anything?
I got nothing. I got nothing. This has been a slow week, man.
You didn't put a lift in. You didn't drive anything.
No, I've been sitting in front of my TV. I've been sitting in front of my TV going. I mean, just like my eyes big, my mouth wide open going, what the hell? But we don't want to get into that. But yeah, I've just been preoccupied. And it's just been crazy, crazy, crazy. And so
It's been a very, very intense week, I'm sure, for all.
But
another product before I forget worth mentioning, if you guys are interested in more new products, all the companies were loading up their catalog with more supercharger kits. It's really becoming the best bang for the buck, especially on these new cars. Now we're seeing like Nissan Titans, Nissan Armada, supercharger kits from tons of Magotan supercharger kits, new Whipple stuff. But then you start to think about how do you become competitive in the supercharger world? And if you're a company like Edelbrock, they're different because they make superchargers, but they make so many other parts as well. And now being part of the Comp Performance Group, they have a huge catalog of parts. So you can go to Whipple and get a fantastic supercharger. You can go to Magotan, Vortec, get a great supercharger. But now what's been released at SEMA 360 is Edelbrock has released supercharger top-end kits. So you can get the supercharger for your late model Hemi, but with the cam and springs and other things to make that package an all-in-one bolt-on package. How do you create more power out of your supercharger without increasing the boost and creating more, you know, detonation adverse, compression? Well, you start putting a cam in there and you start doing a few other things so you can create more power at it. And with the right tune, it could work out great. So that was one of the things I noticed is lots of supercharger kits and Edelbrock's new supercharger top end kit.
Very cool. I know we talked about it a while ago. I wanted to supercharge the 27 back there. It's got that little 302 in it, and I never committed. But I really want to supercharge something. but old school.
You know? I love superchargers.
I've never had one.
You know, I've used Roots type, 671s. I've used Paxton type. I've used all these, and I mean they're just awesome because they just change everything.
Sound cool. You get a good whine to it. Different sound than the turbos. I love the turbos as well, but it's a different sound to it.
Yeah.
And speaking of old school, Brad and I had a conversation about this a while ago. He was thinking about, Brad, you were thinking about some hot rod project or muscle car project, but with an old school blower coming out of the hood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like the cool BDS blowers and stuff, but they make compression in the engine. You got to do an 8-to-1, 8.5-to-1 compression. And a lot of times the problem with that is the compression is so low that when you're cruising around town, you're not on boost and you've got a very low compression engine. So another move that I noticed that Edelbrock's doing is they took the modern day twin screw supercharger kits and they put it in sort of a billet old school looking case and you can slap it on top. So now you can actually build your 10, 10.5, 11-to-1 compression engine, build the boost in the case of the blower. And it's sort of a modern billet version looking of that old school blower. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And on top of that, I think you can carburete it or you can do some sort of fuel injection or something, a throttle body. But you can get that through the roof kind of thing and put your big bug catcher on there if you want.
And
it's got sort of a cooler kind of billet looking case.
Do they have a kit for my Mercedes?
I don't know. But if you swap that damn thing.
Did you get it, Brad?
Did you get it?
No, I'm talking about my Mercedes that I have. No, I haven't had a chance to find one. I've got so many projects right now. We've got the guest house being remodeled. I've got My mom's house.
That's been going for like 14 years.
No, it's been going. It does seem like it's been going forever, but the guy going.
Or was that just an excuse that I couldn't stay at your house when I came down
for the show? Yeah. No, the guy driving through my yard put everything on hold. Now we're finally going on it. And now I've got to go over to Arizona. I'm going back and forth to Arizona because having work done on my mom's house. And then I'm putting a upper mezzanine here in my warehouse here at Bond Speed so that I can store a bunch more car parts.
There you go. There you go. Well, yeah, I put some planks on my rafters. I have the extra tires for the M3 race car, and I got a bin full of spare parts, and I've got some summer tires for the Mini Cooper up there. I'm starting to use the rafters. I'm down to that. I've got the winter tires for the Mini Cooper behind me here.
I needed it so bad. I had an engineer.
Oh, right.
I had an engineer figure out, and we're doing a steel upper mezzanine above the
office. That's so cool.
And it's going to be like 1,500 square feet. And that way I'll be able
as big as my whole shop.
Yeah, shelve it and put a lot of stuff up there. So,
man. Good. Yeah, it's not going to be as nice as Matt and Adam's, though.
No.
Well.
No. But
I get a big ass fan up there. It's really just Adam, so I get the benefit from using it, I guess.
But, all right.
That's better. You don't have to pay the property taxes. You don't have to pay for it. Just use it. Hey, guys, that's kind of the end of the show today. I've got to get wheels shipping. Aaron's got to shovel some snow. And Matt's
possibly soon.
Yeah.
The snow blower is actually behind those tires. You can see a little chute sticking up right there.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Up right inside the door.
No joke. Yeah, it's a snow blower.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, guys. Hey, everybody, don't forget that you can find every episode and actually watch our hijinks here on Shift and Steer now on Facebook and on our YouTube page. And so check that out and find us on iTunes, Podcast One, everywhere else. And, pretty much anywhere you can find a good podcast, you know. You can find a bad podcast there. We're usually rated high.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Everybody. See you next week.
Hang in there.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Geico, maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.